It's time for Rhema for Today.
Nowhere in the scriptures do we find where Paul was ever disabled by sickness of any kind from any of his ministry. Now, a good question here, and it should be answered, is why did God permit this thorn in the flesh to buffet Paul? Well, the scriptures say that it was because of the revelations and visions that Paul had, lest he had a tendency to be lifted up. Therefore, before anyone can claim that he has a thorn in the flesh, it would be well to ask, how many revelations and visions have you had?
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. We went into Rhema's archives and chose Kenneth E. Hagin's teaching, Recognizing Roadblocks to Healing. This will be a great month of teaching. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's radio offer. Right now, here's Kenneth E. Hagin with today's message.
Now, we have been teaching this week on roadblocks to healing. A lot of times, I know in my own case, when I was seeking healing so many years ago, I don't know about you, but the majority of these roadblocks that I'm talking about, I'm just talking from personal experience. I had to get by them before I could get up to where healing was. I had to find my answer. And thank God I found it. Praise God. The Word of God gives us the answer. So we talked about, first of all, the roadblock of God sending sickness upon people. Does God send sickness upon people? Where does sickness come from? Well, thank God it doesn't come from heaven. There's not any up there. You know, I had to find my answer, so we discussed that. And then the second one, my main two was these two right here. You know, it may not be God's will to heal me. Healing may not be God's will for me. And I had to find out from the Word of God that it is God's will for me. And thank God it is. I said, thank God it is. So we discussed that. We'll not go over it again. And then roadblock number three, Hezekiah's poultice. We discussed that, you know, yesterday. A lot of folks, you know, let things like that stand in the way. Well, to me, it was just simply an act of faith and an act of obedience. And then roadblock number four, Paul left Trophimus at Miletum sick. And we discussed that. And then roadblock number five, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Amen. But it was not sickness. Or was it disease? And like we said yesterday, it is true that God permitted this thorn in the flesh to come upon Paul, but it was not from God. It was from the opposite source. The scripture said that it was a messenger of Satan that was permitted to buffet him. His thorn was not sickness. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And everywhere Paul went, the devil stirred up strife against Paul. You know, Paul himself wrote in his epistles about the times that he had been whipped and stoned and left for dead and put in jail and even fighting with the lions. And yet in all the writing of all of the persecution, the writing about all the tribulation that he went through, not one single time does he include sickness among them. Not even once. Not even once. Nowhere in the scriptures do we find where Paul was ever disabled by sickness of any kind from any of his ministry. Now, a good question here, and it should be answered, is why did God permit this thorn in the flesh to buffet Paul? Well, the scriptures say that it was because of the revelations and visions that Paul had, lest he had a tendency to be lifted up. Therefore, before anyone can claim that he has a thorn in the flesh, it would be well to ask, how many revelations and visions have you had? How many times has Jesus appeared to you and spoke to you? Amen. And so if he hasn't, well, you're not ready for any thorns in the flesh, so forget it. I said, forget it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Notice this, though, that God said even to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace and God's power helps us to rise above the buffetings of Satan. Praise God. And then we got down to number 6 yesterday, left off with it, so we'll pick up there again today, with I'm suffering or I'm sick for the glory of God. Amen. Now, turn in your Bibles, if you will please, to the 9th chapter, the 9th chapter of John's Gospel. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Now, those who support this belief, that is, I'm suffering or I'm sick for the glory of God, usually point to this scripture here in the 9th chapter of John, where Jesus passed by and saw a man who was born blind. The disciples ask, who sinned, this man or his parents, that caused him to be born blind? Now notice what Jesus said in the 3rd verse of this 9th chapter. Neither has this man sinned nor his parents. In other words, he's not blind because he sinned. Naturally not. He's born blind. And it's not because his parents sinned. See, it's not because parents sin sometimes that babies and so on are born blind or deformed or so on and so forth. I want you to notice that actually Jesus did not really say why it was, because he just answered their question. They just ask, is he born blind because he sinned, or is it because his parents sinned? He just simply said neither one. He didn't say why. Now we know, because we have the revealed Word of God, that it's because of Adam's sin. You see, Adam opened the door for sin and sickness to come upon the human race. Are you listening to me? And that's because we fell heir to these things. And so then Jesus said, and let's look at it carefully now, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now see, what happens is folks stop reading right there, see. And therefore, some reason that the man was born blind, that in order that God might get glory out of it. But now, wait a minute. Jesus is not through talking. See, you can take half scriptures or verses out of their setting, out of the context, and really just make the Bible say anything that you want it to say. But read the entire context. See, Jesus went on to say, however, I must work the works of him that sent me. Now, then notice this. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. See, the works of God haven't been made manifest in him yet, have they? I said, have they? In being born blind, the works of God wasn't made manifest in him. In living all of his life until now, he's a grown man, an adult. The works of God haven't been made manifest in him yet, see. And so he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh and no man can work. The works of God hadn't been made manifest in the man until Christ did that which he was sent to do, that of healing the man's blindness. I must work the works of him that sent me. Hallelujah. Well, now, what about Lazarus? Well, let's turn to the 11th chapter of John's Gospel and read about Lazarus. Amen. And again, let's read the whole story, not lift some verse out of its setting and make it say something that it doesn't say. Now, let's start with the very first verse. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." You know, you got to get plain with some folks. Amen, isn't that right? Lazarus is dead. "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." They thought Jesus was going to go up there and die, I guess. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. This month, we're offering Kenneth E. Hagin's CD entitled How to Activate God's Power. We're also offering Kenneth W. Hagin's slimline book, The Master Restorer, God Will Do It Again. Also in this offer is Reverend Lynette Hagin's CD, You Can Have Success. And lastly, Craig Hagin's CD entitled, Have Faith in God. All these items at the special price of $25. Call toll free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
We are going to be in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That's August the 18th through the 20th, Sunday through Tuesday, at Victory Life Church, Pastors Colby and Afton Johnson.
Then we're going to move down to Omaha, Nebraska on August 21st through the 23rd. That's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, at Faith Family Church. Pastor Tony and Jeanette Finley are going to be there. Hey, all of our Live in Faith conferences and all wherever we're going to be, you can go to rhema.org and go under events, and you can find these and see where we're going to be.
That's right.
And we may, and the schedule's there, so if you find one that's close to you, come and visit us.
That's right.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his teaching, Recognizing Roadblocks to Healing. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.